You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Been a busy morning. Welcome to the program. Final hour this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Interesting news at the Olympics. The women's softball team lost the gold medal to Japan, but the women's gymnastics team settled for a silver as well. And the big news was Simone Biles. She took herself out of competition. Midway through the competition, she withdrew due to a, quote, medical issue. We've been waiting. This happened around 7:40 Eastern time. She eventually had some quotes. I'm okay, just dealing with things internally that will get fixed out within the next couple of days. She also said that Tuesday was really stressful, and she had never felt like this going into a competition. I don't know if this is the mental aspect of this that she's talking about. Still unclear. I don't know if anybody else had the opportunity to ask other questions here, but feels like this was more stress mental related than it was physical. Although she came back with an ankle that was wrapped, we don't know the extent of that injury. And even prior to this, in the prelims, she didn't look sharp. But she probably thinks she's carrying the weight of the world in her mind because of, you know, where gymnastics fits in the Olympics and how important it is with the women's team. And here she is in every competition, team competition, individual competition, and we expect her. It's great when you're the surprise story, but when you go in and people go, oh yeah, she won some gold medals, like Katie Ledecky. Sure thing, right? She swam one of the fastest times of her life and finished second, won the silver. And she said, there's nothing else I could do, but this is the pressure that you have. Like Team USA, if they win the gold, we go, okay. Katie Ledecky wins gold, okay. Simone Biles, okay. I don't know if we'd had a sure thing like Simone Biles in a decade. Maybe since Michael Phelps or Usain Bolt. I mean, she's in that category. That's a pretty high level. Because then you're going, oh, well, you got to get world records. It's not just you won the gold, you get world records. That's what Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt we're facing. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. Don't miss the Peacock original series, Sisters of 96, the 1996 U.S. Women's Olympic soccer team. Watch as members of the 96 U.S. Women's soccer team relive the historic match that won them a gold medal. Go to PeacockTV.com and sign up now. You can also watch this program on Peacock. And download the app. You can watch for free. Say good morning to our great radio affiliates around the country, numbering nearly 400. McLovin, the poll question from the first 2 hours.
Interesting. If you gave the Packers a mulligan on the offseason, what would you have done? 54% say traded Aaron Rodgers.
I would have. If I know I'm going to lose him, that we're going to agree to not disagree for a year and try to play nice. And maybe you can rectify this with Aaron. But if you're going to be coming up with adding new players, is Randall Cobb going to be back with the Packers? Is Devontae Adams going to sign a long-term deal? They still have all the pieces in place to be able to make another run. And in that division, it's not a challenging division. You could easily win 13 games. 13 games in a 17-game season. Easily. But Aaron Rodgers is back. Showed up at Lambeau, and you're probably in the small percentage if you thought he was going to be showing up day one of camp at Lambeau. It looked like that he just came from a surf shop. You know, he had these big sunglasses on, flip flops. He had a t-shirt on, and his hair was in a man bun. I think if you were close to him, he smelled like sunscreen. It was like, he smells like copper tone. But he landed last night in Green Bay, and he's there at camp. I don't know if he's talking today. I hope he is. But it's, you know, trying to understand that, is it a new contract? Is there an addendum to the new contract? Is he in control? It feels like the Packers won here. Like, if we love to give a win or a loss, that's a win, that's a loss. It feels like the Packers won. The The year 2023 in Rodgers' contract, the last one in his current deal, will be voided with no tags allowed in the future. The Packers would agree to review Rodgers' situation at the end of this season. Rodgers' contract would be adjusted with no loss of income to give the Packers more cap room. Mechanisms will be put in place to address Rodgers' issues with the team. This, according to Adam Schefter, and that coming from Aaron Rodgers' agent. I think all along they wanted to present this as it's not about the money. Maybe it eventually becomes that. It'll be about the money for Devontae Adams. But does Aaron Rodgers want to stay? Is there any scenario where he goes, you know what, on further review, I'm going to stay? I just don't get that feeling. I feel like, okay, because they had to, this was 11th hour negotiations just to get to this point where he'd come in and play one season. Because I think he was going to sit out and basically say to the Packers, what are you going to do? But to get this, I think he can get Devontae Adams signed and get paid and be the highest paid wide receiver in the game. And maybe gets to bring back some of his friends. Trey Wingo tweeted out that Randall Cobb could be coming back. Help bring back Jordy Nelson if you want to. Bring them all back. Jermichael Finley, bring him back.
Eddie Lee Ivory, go way back.
Sure, bring him back. Bring them all back here. James Lofton, bring him back. Bring back Favre, too, while you're at it. Might as well. But moving forward, you'll trade him in the offseason. Question is, can you trade him to just AFC teams? Because that's what I would want to do if I'm the Packers. Does Aaron get to pick where he wants to go? The compensation? Let's say you're Denver, and you know that Rodgers would love to go to Denver. If you're Denver, you're not giving the Packers full value for Aaron Rodgers. Like, Deshaun Watson's worth less now. That's what I don't understand. Do I want Aaron Rodgers for 1 year? I take him for as many years as I could get him. But at some point, I have to run this as a business, not a scrapbook. And that's where you go, okay, we could have traded him at the draft. We could have traded him in February. And we would have all these other people, suitors involved. And all the possibilities there. You probably would have 10 teams that would be able to come up with a viable offer for Aaron Rodgers. I think it just comes down to, is Jordan Love ready? And the answer is no. Because if Jordan Love was ready, then I think you pulled the trigger on that. Yeah, Paul.
There is an interesting thing going on with Aaron Rodgers and his age. He's 37. He turns 38 late this season. Mm-hmm. But no one's talking about his age because of what Tom Brady's done. 37 going on 38 is old for an NFL quarterback until recently. Yeah. And because of what Brady's done, people are wiping that away. What do you call it? Eli is out of the game by that age. Yeah. Peyton Manning played one more season after age 38. And it wasn't beautiful. But Aaron Rodgers, his age has not been a factor at all.
Oh, Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Drew Brees also was able to play.
Because of Brees and Brady, no one talks about age anymore.
Here's another quote. I'm not in the right headspace, Simone Biles. I'm not going to lose a medal for this country and for these girls. She was talking about missing a vault. And she was going to do this maneuver on the vault, and she bailed on it. She just, you know, this is about mental. This is about confidence. This is about, I mean, it could be panic. I mean, there could be a lot of different things. Maybe she made the right move. Well, she did. She made the right move because it was her decision. Yes, Seton.
That's a sport that I would imagine you have to have your headspace right. I mean, you can't do 3.5 flips off one of those things and not be 100% sure that you're going to land it.
Well, whatever she needs, I hope she's able to get it in a short turnaround. But, you know, she said that she's dealing with things internally, and she hopes that they will get fixed here shortly. I've been mentioning that I had some college football news, and this is from one of my college football sources. And I wanted to know what was kind of going on, get his feelings on things, since he was instrumental in giving me some information on the Big Ten last year, the Pac-12, when the Big Ten and Pac-12 were shutting down football, and everybody said that I was wrong. And I said, nope, I'm right. And he said, stick with it. You're right. And he gave me some information here. He said, there's a good chance the Big Ten and Pac-12 will try to create some type of merger to preserve their Rose Bowl contract. Notre Dame, he believes, is meeting on Wednesday to discuss what they're going to do, that the ACC seems like it makes sense, but that Notre Dame wouldn't join the ACC if these teams merge with the SEC. And then my source said, the dilemma right now is academic schools want nothing to do with the SEC. Virginia, North Carolina, Wake Forest, Duke, and Georgia Tech want nothing to do with the SEC because of the academics. Big Ten would be all over Virginia and North Carolina if there was a different commissioner. Because, according to my source, that would expand the Big Ten footprint, but the presidents want the money, but they have to maintain their academic credibility. That's the big issue with some of these conferences right now, or schools. The academic part of this, go figure. You know, we talk about the student athlete all the time, and you know, maybe there are some schools that are still adhering to that, but the dilemma with the ACC is the schools want nothing to do with the SEC, Virginia, North Carolina, Wake Forest, Duke, and Georgia Tech. Yes, Paul?
That does seem odd from the Big Ten, because Vanderbilt is in the SEC, and I don't know if that's damaged their academic credibility. People look at Vanderbilt as almost like an Ivy League school, mm-hmm. as a destination school for your kids. And being a football team in the SEC, I don't know if that's damaged that. If Michigan went to the SEC, would people think, oh, it's no longer a higher education?
I don't know. They may.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I point this out. Like, Florida is really hard to get into, and they're in the SEC. I think it's easy to say, well, it's just a football conference. Well, Big Ten's a football conference as well. You know, but the higher education, you know, the holier than thou kind of feel about this. But I do think it's interesting, according to my source, good chance Big Ten, Pac-12 try to create some type of merger. Now, what would that mean? How many schools can you add? Do you subtract? So it's West Coast, Midwest. If you could drop Rutgers, drop Maryland, add USC, add Oregon. All right. That's pretty good. That'd be a good trade. You'd have to throw in a couple other things in there.
Dan, you don't want to lose that East Coast Rutgers connection.
No, you don't. You know. No, that. No, you got to have a footprint in New York City. Trust me, New York City doesn't care about Rutgers football. Yes, McLevin.
How about ACC goes hard after Kansas and just becomes the basketball conference and maybe loses Clemson? Just so you have the football conference SEC, you got Kansas, maybe try and get Baylor, which has kind of been out there. People speculating, be this Duke and Kansas in the same conference? That'd be kind of cool.
That's not a bad idea.
It's one of many. It's been floated on Twitter. I didn't come up with it yet.
Oh, okay.
But that doesn't mean it's going to happen by any means. It seems like everything's totally up in the air.
Well, we used to have a basketball super conference called the Big East. Remember that? Yeah. But that's when those schools were actually playing good basketball, where St. John's was interesting, and Georgetown. Nova's been great. Syracuse. But, you know, I don't know. We've got a couple of years, it feels like, to figure this out. You know, where is everybody going? But what happens to the Big 12? It just feels like the Big 12 is going to be the odd man out, because the Pac-12 will still survive, Big 10. ACC still has Clemson. I don't know. Would Clemson join? See, I wouldn't. Like, Clemson doesn't need the SEC. I mean, I want to be the focus of my own conference. At least for now. Yeah, see.
That's all you might have those for now.
I know. Hey, in the ACC, the C in ACC, both C's stand for Clemson. Clemson. That's the ACC.
The Clemson Conference.
Yes, yes, Paul.
Rick Neuheisel is going to have to do a sequel to his Born in the SEC song.
Yeah.
It's changed rapidly.
Yep. Yeah, it's just, these are things that are being floated out there, and you know, that's the information I've got. But Clemson, I think, is interesting. But Notre Dame joining the ACC, you know, full-time, that would be a great coup for the ACC. But I, you know, it's Notre Dame, and Notre Dame, they make enough money. I mean, that revenue, they're top five in the money that they make. And I don't know if they look at this, because this is where you go, we don't want to make a move to make a move. but we don't want to be left behind when everybody else has made their moves and then we can't. We'll take a break. Phone calls coming up, and we'll update our poll results as well. Anything else on Simone Biles? We'll keep an eye on that as well. We'll hear from the Packers president right after this, 16 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. M-Drive Boost and Burn. And sometimes Fritz will say, hey, can you slow down with the M-Drive Boost and Burn?
You're like hyper full of energy. I can't keep up with you.
I know. I could run through a wall right now. M-Drive Boost and Burn, the daily supplement, gives you an energy boost that you need to stay driven, feel your best every single day. Packed with clinically tested ingredients, M-Drive Boost and Burn helps you build lean muscle, burn body fat, stay at the top of your game no matter what your age is with M-Drive Boost and Burn. Go to mdrivedan.com. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. You got nothing to lose except for some LBs. You can find it also at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop. Join the community of us driven guys who aren't ready to slow down. You can fight back against the clock. M-Drive Boost and Burn. Guys my age aren't doing this anymore. They don't have the energy. They don't have the Danettes that I have to support. I can't quit. I can't quit them. That's why I need M-Drive Boost and Burn. See it for yourself. Try it for yourself. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond. From their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew, Mercedes-Benz vans build, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go that extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. We are still waiting to get more information on Simone Biles, if she'll be able to compete in the individual events. She pulled herself out of the team competition, and she made the right decision because it was her decision. She didn't feel comfortable. She talked about something internally. I'm sure the stress that's on her, the pressure that's on her, she didn't want to bring the team down. They ended up winning a silver, but Simone Biles right now, not quite sure. She said that she hopes that this will get worked out over the next couple of days. If this was an individual sport, like Naomi Osaka took herself out of competition. Now, she did lose at the Olympics, but you know, years ago, taking herself out of competition, didn't compete in some of the majors, a couple of Grand Slam events. You know, she wasn't there mentally. And Simone Biles said that. And look, I'm glad that there are athletes who are willing to talk about the mental aspect of this, because you were considered damaged goods, like something was wrong with you. In the old days, you'd play through it. Come on, what's wrong with you? You're making millions of dollars. You got to be out there. You got to play through this. You're not in a good headspace. And Kevin Love brought this up. Who was the basketball player out of the Big 12? Was it Royce White? Was he out of like Iowa State? Does that sound right? And I remember he was dealing with things, didn't play in the NBA. I think he played in Europe eventually, but I remember he talked about this as well. Travel issues, being on a plane. You know, Michael Phelps talked about this. You know, just the stress part of this, the mental part of this. We don't know that. We see somebody and go, man, they should be great. They're going to win the gold. You don't know. You don't know where they are mentally. Physically, you can say, man, you look like you're ready to go. Mentally, I don't know what kind of pressure Simone Biles is under. I could only imagine that you're supposed to win all these gold medals. Not if, but when you win them. Part of the beauty of the Olympics is the surprise element that you find out about somebody. You know, the 17-year-old swimmer from Alaska won the gold medal. That's the surprise. No expectations. Now, the next Olympics, a whole lot of pressure. And who knows what this extra year. I mean, imagine this is a 17-year-old swimmer out of Alaska. If the Olympics were held last year, she wouldn't have won the gold medal. Michael Phelps said that. Because it was pushed back another year, you get another year to get ready, to mature. And you go into this, she doesn't know what to expect. Sometimes you love being naive. You know, there's certain teams that are young and they have no idea And here's Simone Biles, who's 24. In her last Olympics, probably. And you're going in and you're expected to win. Katie Ledecky, you're expected to win. Michael Phelps, expected to win. Team USA basketball, expected to win. I mean, when you think about the Olympic coverage, and I don't think this is a stretch, NBC and Peacock are leaning heavily on Simone Biles and Katie Ledecky. There's no Usain Bolt. There's no Michael Phelps. This is pressure. Now, if they feel it, now what do? And sometimes you don't know you're going to feel it until you get there. I remember having this enormous pressure on me in Minneapolis when I was hosting the Super Bowl. And this is something that I had done with Bob Costas, and Bob decided that he was not going to be part of the Super Bowl coverage anymore. And I went into that morning, and that night I was so stressed out just because I kept thinking the enormity of hosting an 8-hour pregame show, halftime, postgame, handing out the Super Bowl trophy. And I just was trying to stay out of my own way because you start to think, it'd be like 2 p.m. and I'm hosting the pregame show and I'm thinking about postgame. I'm thinking about the trophy ceremony. And I just couldn't get it out of my head. I was trying to just separate there. And that's something, that I do all the time where I'm able to host. I mean, I do this and I've done this for 40 years. But you add the pressure to yourself. And I remember at the Olympics, and I went through this in 2012 in London, and I thought I had to know everything about everybody, every country, every athlete. And Al Michaels said, 30-minute increments. That's all you need to know. Know what you need to know when you need to know it. And it was really simplistic, but in my mind, I thought, gosh, Bob probably knows, the decathlete from Uzbekistan. Like, I just thought, I have to know all of this. And I couldn't grasp all of it. And I remember going out to dinner, and Al could tell I was stressing. And he said, Dan, my man, know what you need to know when you need to know it. 30 minutes at a time. That's it. And all I did was, in the moment where it's what is happening now, and I've got 30 minutes of prep work. What am I going to prep for these 30 minutes? It's judo, all right? Who is the who could win gold for or who could medal for the United States? And then I move on. But if I didn't have that, it would have been an exhausting experience. Would have hated it. And I had the best time. One of the best things I've ever been able to be a part of was the 2012 Olympics in London. And all of those Super Bowl. I mean, I eventually it worked out with the the Super Bowl in Minnesota. But I didn't enjoy it in the moment because I was so caught up on trying to be Bob Costas. Like, how would Bob host the Super Bowl coverage? Because I was very fortunate. I mean, I always had Bob there. And you lean on somebody like that, or you have Al Michaels there. And then all of a sudden, you're like a hot air balloon that's kind of not tethered anymore. And you're like, oh, boy. And it hits you. Like, you're hosting the Super Bowl. You're hosting the Olympics. You're handing out the Super Bowl trophy. And I'm proud of all those things. But man, it weighed on me. Weighed on me heavily. Yeah, Paul.
And after hearing some of Simone Biles' quotes, it appears she may have been thinking to herself, I could lose the team a chance at the medal if I keep going. If I tap out now, there is an alternate. They have an alternate. It's not like you're gone. It's not like some sports where there's no backup quarterback. They have an alternate who plugs right into the next series of events.
Bob Costas will join us on the program tomorrow. A couple of phone calls here. Let's see. Maria in Texas. Hey, Maria, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Maria.
I'm trying to get out of my house. It's my husband's birthday, and I wanted to see if I can give a shout-out to him today. He's a big fan of yours. We actually met you in San Antonio a couple years ago for the Final Four.
At the basketball court?
Yes, when you were doing your thing by the Riverwalk.
Yeah, okay. And what's your husband's name?
Jorge.
Jorge?
Jorge, yes.
Where is Jorge right now?
Jorge's in the living room, and I ran out the house right now so I could talk to you.
So he's in there watching the show?
He's in there watching the show, yes.
Jorge, come outside, give Maria a kiss, and tell her thank you, because that is a great woman. And take her to dinner or take her to lunch today. Do something nice for her, Maria. It's your birthday. How about you do something for Maria? Jorge, get off your butt and get off the couch and go outside and give Maria a nice hug.
You want to know something funny, Dan? That day we met you, I think my husband, it was like 9:30 in the morning. He was like 3 beers in. And I said, yeah, I go, that's his 3rd beer. And you said, oh, no, she's counting them. That's not good.
Well, Jorge, happy birthday. Maria, thank you for calling in. That's Maria in San Antonio. Well, Texas. Yeah, Jorge's not doing anything. Just sitting around.
Slugging down beers, yeah. Watching the show.
Yeah, 3 beers in. Wait, hey, the only way I can get through your show, I got to have a few beers. Hey, the only way I can watch your show, I'm a shut-in. I can't get
ever
up to get the
remote.
Ever
since I had this hip replacement, all I do is sit here and watch beers.
Yes, Paul.
I think I want to roll with Jorge. He's on the couch. It's 11:30 on a Tuesday.
I want to roll with Maria.
Oh, yeah.
Not Jorge. I don't need Jorge to sit and, you know, in my pajamas and drink beer and watch this show.
He's got a 12-pack of Lone Star in the fridge and watching the DP show.
Killing it.
What
he's
a
got,
day.
Yeah.
Killing it. Happy birthday. Let's see. Sean in Indianapolis. Hi, Sean. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Sean.
Question and a comment. The comment is just about Simone Biles. I mean, these athletes are so good, so young, that it just seems like they're mentally fragile and a lot of that pressure gets to them. But my question to you is with Oklahoma and Texas and SEC and now Big Ten, Pac-10, all merging for football, what is that going to do to all the other sports within these schools, like basketball and all everything that's going on?
Sean, I'm right there with you. I'm trying to figure this out. I mean, Oklahoma's got a quality basketball team. Texas has been competitive, but I have no idea. No idea what's happening with all of this. And I don't know if they do either, Sean. To be honest with you, I think they're figuring it out as well. It's like my source said this morning, hey, wouldn't be surprised if the Big Ten and Pac-12 merge because they have that Rose Bowl contract. I don't know what that means. Garrett in Georgia. Hi, Garrett. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan, I was just going to go back to the comment you made about, you know, the ACC teams, they don't want to come to the SEC because of the academic prestige. I think that's just very, as you say, holier than thou, because there's at least 4 SEC schools that are very difficult to get into. I just don't agree with that argument.
Look, I'm just going by what I was told, that, you know, there are certain presidents and chancellors who are, they have to lean towards the academics, you know, and you understand that at Virginia and Georgia Tech and Wake Forest. They got to be careful with that. At least that's what I was told. And that's why, you know, do you go into the SEC and you're going to have some, you know, presidents who are reticent about doing something like that? Yeah, McLeod.
You know, as an Ivy Leaguer, we'll take all those teams.
Wow.
I'm saying if they really want to up their prestige, we could use a little boost in our football.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're ready to join the Ivy. Vandy should go to the Ivy League.
Yeah, I was about to say that, you know, they'd compete, they'd be all right.
Would Vandy be the dominant school in the Ivy League?
What is the best academic conference? It's the Big Ten, right? Off the top of your, like, if you think of who's like the best academics. I think of the Big Ten is Michigan's really hard to get into.
And well, I know that USC and Stanford Stanford's extremely hard to get into. That's up there with Harvard. USC's extremely hard to get into.
Well, not for crew if you have $500 million.
You just have to take better pick. See, if you majored in photography, then you probably could have gotten into USC and nobody would have noticed. But it was bad photoshopping. That's the problem. Good photoshopping, you're in. Yeah, Paul.
I'll base this off my background. I was a complete C student. I got into Iowa. I didn't get into Missouri. I didn't get into Kansas. I did get into Alabama. Do with that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, McClure.
How about like an all academic? Like you get Northwestern out of the Big Ten. Vanderbilt.
Well, Michigan is a great university as well. I mean, that's hard. That's high academic standards as well.
Yeah, the NERD conference, and just have all these like really academically oriented schools.
All the nerd schools. So instead of the SEC, it's the NERD, Vandy, Northwestern, Notre Dame, Stanford.
And all these college football writers went to Northwestern and are always like trying to get them in the conversation somehow.
Oh, God. It's nauseating. You get either that or Syracuse. Syracuse or Northwestern. Oh, yeah, I went to Syracuse. Oh, you did? Yeah. They tell you before you even ask. By the way, Mike Tirico, I went to Syracuse. Oh, hi, Mike. Nice to meet you. Hi, I'm Michael Wilbon. I went to Northwestern. Hi, I'm Greeny. I went to Northwestern. I'm J.A. Adonde. I teach at Northwestern. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Yes, McLean.
But if you went to Syracuse, you're never going to be Costas. You're like fighting for second place. So what's the point?
Yeah. Like most famous broadcasting alum, I'm up there at the University of Dayton. And, you know, almost up there with most famous alum with Chuck Knoll, John Gruden. So that's, you know, not many schools have coaches who won Super Bowls, who went to their university. Yes, Paul?
Are you the most famous person ever to go to Dayton?
No.
You got to think about it.
I doubt it.
Chuck Knoll is a household name in the 70s, 80s. Not so much today.
Mm.
In Pittsburgh, of course.
Yeah.
Legend.
Well, the level of fame, though, that he had was pretty remarkable. John Gruden. Irma Bombeck was a columnist for many, many, many years. Very famous. But I don't know I don't want to take credit as the most famous alum at Dayton. I'm on the short list.
Irma Bombeck didn't have a big Instagram following.
No,
though.
She did She's, not.
She wasn't big on the gram.
No, she was not. No. Not a Facebook page either. Let's take a break. We're going to head to the Olympics. We're going to check in with somebody who was at the Simone Biles press conference and what kind of questions were being asked. And are all the answers supplied here? Because it doesn't feel like that. We'll come back. More phone calls as well back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Been a busy morning. If you're just joining us, prior to the start of the show, Simone Biles withdrew from the team competition. She left, and then she did come back to cheer on her teammates. Team USA ended up winning the silver. And there were mixed reports of, was it something physical? Was it mental? Was it stress? Was it a panic attack? Was it her ankle? Here's Simone Biles after.
It's been really stressful, this Olympic Games. I think just as a whole, not having an audience, there are a lot of different variables going into it. It's been a long week. It's been a long Olympic process. It's been a long year. So just a lot of different variables, and I think we're just a little bit too stressed out. But we should be out here having fun, and sometimes that's not the case.
Well, you can hear it in her voice. Barry Sverluga, he is covering the Olympics. He was at the event covering for the Washington Post and kind enough to join us on short notice. What was it like when you saw her walk off, Barry?
I mean, a little staggering. I mean, at first, of course, you think, well, she twisted an ankle or she's getting a knee treated and can't she go on? And what's her physical state? And then, you know, word kind of spreads around that it was, in fact, an injury, that she's making a decision based on mental health. And I got to say, Dan, like, you know, this is something that's come up in the lead up to these Olympics. It's come up at these Olympics. Simone Manuel, a swimmer, talked about it at trials. She was a gold medalist in 2016 and didn't even make the team here in that event. It is Naomi Osaka's story here. So if you put it in the context of these athletes, you know, they only are relevant to mainstream American sports fans once every 4 years. You add a fifth year onto that. Biles is trying to cement her place as the unquestioned, you know, all-time great in her sport. I think you're right. You heard it in her voice. There is a toll of all of that.
And do we have answers to everything yet? And like the individual events, like it just feels like there's a great mystery still to be solved here, Barry.
Oh, for sure. And she addressed that the all-around competition for individuals is on Thursday. And of course, she won that in Rio. She's the huge, enormous favorite here. But she said tonight she's taking it day by day. They're going to have a morning off with no practice tomorrow. She sounds like a woman who needs a morning off with no practice tomorrow. She's going to clear her head. And, you know, this opens up all sorts of stuff where, you know, what if she competes for the all around gold as an individual on Thursday night? Did she give up on her team in essentially doing those same things on a Tuesday night? It'll be really fascinating to see, really interesting to hear what the reactions are from other athletes. But I think what we're looking at is a changing athlete, a changing viewpoint of what these people endure in, you know, being in the spotlight and then training and going through the grind of it out of the spotlight. They're being much more frank about how that affects them.
And you start to understand the enormity of this, that, yes, it's pushed an extra year. And NBC and Peacock have leaned on her and Katie Ledecky to really be, there's no Usain Bolt, there's no Michael Phelps, that they're leaning on these two athletes to carry the next 2 weeks. And I don't know what that pressure would be like, the enormity. I can only imagine that. And you're supposed to win gold. You know, covering the Olympics, the beauty is a 17-year-old from Alaska who wins a gold, and that's the great story of the Olympics. Simone Biles wins gold, or a few golds, be like, okay, we expected her to. And I think you could almost, you could hear that pressure. And boy, that says a lot about what she must be under right now.
And that's the dichotomy of it, right? Like the 17-year-old Lydia Jacoby from Alaska, like no one, if she had won bronze, we wouldn't be talking about her. She would be enormously satisfied. Her hometown would be thrilled. Yeah. But it's an extra layer because she came out of nowhere. She won that gold, and she didn't have to think about the stuff that Simone Biles thought about, not just this morning when she was getting up to compete, but when she was flying over here and a year ago when the games were postponed and when she was evaluating, does she want to continue and should she just retire? Those are real pressures. And people can say like, well, she gets the spoils too. She gets the endorsements and she's going to make millions of dollars. And that's all true. But I think we should be mature enough and developed enough to acknowledge that, you know, millions of dollars don't instantly make your head right. So it really was an amazing sight to see her walk off, come back and legitimately root on her teammates, but also say, on this day, given my mental state, I would have been a hindrance to the U.S. winning a medal, not a help.
Well, there's collateral damage. I mean, Michael Phelps talked about this.
Yeah.
Looked like he had everything. And then you realize that he understood that he was damaged in some way. And that's the greatest Olympian that we've ever seen, that enormity.
And he's the one, I think, who was ahead of the curve on this stuff. He dealt with it in the middle of his career and kind of pulled himself back to get to Rio and win more. So if somebody who has won 23 gold medals, more than anybody in history, is saying, you got to listen to these athletes and telling athletes, you have to tend to yourselves. I think that's really important. And I would say too, and this is why it's such a layered discussion. It's like, you have to acknowledge that being a champion athlete takes some measure of mental strength, and we can't just say all of a sudden, okay, we've the standards are completely different, you know, but there is, what is fighting through that and persevering, and what is tending to yourself so you don't break down? I think that's over the next 3 years to the next Summer Games, that's probably the discussion that needs to happen, not just around athletes, but with athletes.
Barry, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
Barry Sverluga, he is covering the Olympics, joining us from Tokyo for the Washington Post. Yeah, it's just, I think you're going to see a lot of articles written, stories presented that will talk about this leading up to the next Olympics. Just, you know, Naomi Osaka, she loses, doesn't meet with the media. She won before at the Olympics, and then she did meet with the media. Simone Biles, Kevin Love had this situation, a panic attack, Michael Phelps. There's varying degrees of this. And if you had said, hey, mentally I'm not there. If you'd said that a decade ago, people would look at you like, what are you talking about? You know, like mental issues. Remember Ricky Williams? Like he had the face mask, he had the shield when he met with the media. Like social anxiety, nobody knew what social anxiety was. I don't even think social anxiety, the phrase, had been invented yet. But Ricky Williams, and you know, we're looking at him like, what's wrong with Ricky Williams? I mean, he's in the NFL, he's got a Heisman, and he can't talk to the media? And we tend to look at it through a prism of, well, it wouldn't affect me, or how can you let that affect you? And there, it's because we don't understand it. You can go in and have surgery and fix a knee, fix an arm, fix a shoulder. You just don't go in and fix your head. And that's where we have a hard time as wannabe athletes. Like, come on, tough it out. Just listen. Seton, could you play just a little bit of that Simone Biles again? I mean, it feels like she's on the verge of tears. I mean, it is tangible. Wow.
It's been really stressful, this Olympic Games. I think just as a whole, not having an audience, there are a lot of different variables going into it. It's been a long week. It's been a long Olympic process. It's been a long year. So just a lot of different variables, and I think we're just a little bit too stressed out. But we should be out here having fun, and sometimes that's not the case.
Look, I applaud her for meeting with the media and talking about it, because she's probably not sure where she even is headspace-wise. You know, can you just take a day off and all of a sudden have fun and then you're ready to go? I don't know. But that just adds to the intrigue, the drama of the Olympics. Let's go around the room. What we learned on the program. Todd, I'll start with you.
Aaron Rodgers has showed up to camp with a backpack, flip-flops, a man bun, and a t-shirt from the show The Office.
McLovin?
Matt Damon, not proud of his swing in Bagger Vance.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably shouldn't have gone to that question. Seton O'Connor.
Matt Damon chooses Tommy over the Patriots.
Yes. Hashtag Tommy. Paulie, what'd you learn?
How about them apples? Matt Damon, Buccaneers fan.
Fritzy, what did I learn today?
Matt Damon would love to do another Jason Bourne movie.
What we learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans, where other vans stop short. Mercedes-Benz Vans go far beyond. From their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Bob Costas on the program tomorrow. Dale Earnhardt Jr. joining us as well. Hope you'll stop by. Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out the show, an award-nominated show. Simply Safe wins awards as well. Well, they win the awards. They don't get nominated. Simply Safe Home Security founders Chad and Eleanor Lawrence designed their first security system. They were in their kitchen, and they did it for a very personal reason. Their friends had just had their home broken into. They were struggling to find a security system that was simple to set up and make them feel safe. They came up with Simply Safe. They've been doing it ever since, for 15 years now. Simply Safe Home Security, highly trained security experts ready whenever you need them, and you set it up. That's the simple part of it. You set it up, it'll take you less than an hour. And if you have problems setting it up, there's somebody there to help you. If you have problems with a burglary, medical emergency, a fire, there's somebody there to answer your call. To learn more about Simply Safe and how it can protect your family, visit simplysafedan.com, customize your system, free security camera, and 60-day risk-free trial. Nothing to lose. SimplySafeDan.com.